his own bulls, he was perfect. His first bull did not see well. After the first two passes with the Cape, Romero knew exactly how bad the vision was impaired. He worked accordingly. It was not brilliant bullfighting. It was only perfect bullfighting. The crowd wanted the bull changed. They made a great row. Nothing very fine could happen with a bull that could not see the lures. But the president would not order him replaced.
"Why don't they change him?" Brett asked.
"They paid for him. They don't want to lose their money."
"It's hardly fair to Romero."
"Watch how he handles a bull that can't see the color. It's the sort of thing I don't like to see." It was not nice to watch, if you cared anything about the person who was doing it. With the bull who could not see the colors of the capes or the scarlet flannel of the muleta, Romero had to make the bull consent with his body. He had to get so close that the bull saw his body and would start for it, and then shift the bull's charge to the flannel and finish out the pass in the classic manner. The Biarritz crowd did not like it. They thought Romero was afraid, and that was why he gave that little sidestep each time as he transferred the bull's charge from his own body to the flannel. They preferred Belmonte's imitation of himself or Martial's imitation of Belmonte. There were three of them in the row behind us.
"What's he afraid of the bull for? The bull's so dumb he only goes after the clot."
"He's just a young bullfighter. He hasn't learned it yet."
"But I thought he was fine with the cape before."
"Probably he's nervous now."
Out in the center of the ring, all alone, Romero was going on with the same thing, getting so close that the bull could see him plainly offering the body, offering it again a little closer, the bull watching dully, then so close that the bull thought he had him, offering again, and finally drawing the charge, and then, just before the horns came, giving the bull the red cloth to follow with that little, almost imperceptible jerk that so offended the critical judgment of the Biarritz bullfight experts. "He's going to kill now," I said to Brett. "The bull's still strong. He wouldn't wear himself out." Out in the center of the ring, Romero profiled in front of the bull, drew the sword out from the folds of the muleta, rose on his toes, and sighted along the blade. The bull charged as Romero charged. Romero's left hand dropped the muleta over the bull's muzzle to blind him. His left shoulder went forward between the horns as the sword went in, and for just an instant he and the bull were one. Romero way out over the bull, the right arm extended high up to where the hilt of the sword had gone in between the bull's shoulders. Then the figure was broken. There was a little jolt as Romero came clear, and then he was standing, one hand up, facing the bull, his shirt ripped out from under his sleeve, the white blowing in the wind, and the bull, the red sword hilt tight between his shoulders, his head going down and his legs settling.
"There he goes," Bill said.
Romero was close enough so the bull could see him. His hand still up, he spoke to the bull. The bull gathered himself, then his head went forward, and he went over slowly. Then all over, suddenly, 4 feet in the air. They handed the sword to Romero, and carrying it blade down the muleta in his other hand, he walked over to in front of the president's box, bowed, straightened, and came over to the barrera and handed over the sword and muleta.
"Bad one," said the sword handler.
"He made me sweat," said Romero.
He wiped off his face. The sword handler handed him the water jug. Romero wiped his lips. It hurt him to drink out of the jug. He did not look up at us.